Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we're going to talk about rising signs and the 12 tribes of astrology. We're going to talk about how significant and important it is to understand rising signs and what they mean and why it's important to know yours and those that you meet. Okay? So, very, very important topic today on the 12 tribes of astrology, or the 12 rising signs of astrology. We're also going to talk about the full moon lunar eclipse tonight and its effect on the planet. A lot of people are expecting a mystical and a magical occurrence to take place this evening because I have Saturn at 25 Leo. The sun's on my Saturn. Full moon lunar eclipses oppose it. So anybody with 25 fixed in their chart, should probably be hanging out watching the ball game tonight during the lunar eclipse instead of worrying about too much. It's funny, Madonna and Timothy Hutton are having a birthday today too. So I'm sure that they should probably have very peaceful passing as far as that birthday is concerned. Robert De Niro's is tomorrow. But did you know also that whenever we have a full moon, it is already magical and spooky enough as it is. But when the moon is blackened by the shadow of the Earth from the Earth moving in front of the sun's reflection, it gets downright scary. And that's why a lot of people are praying and chanting and meditating, and a lot of people get superstitious. And, you know, throughout ancient times, whenever the moon got blackened by the Earth in the lunar eclipse, people thought it was the end of the world, and they got scared and frightened. And frankly, because it is a very intense aspect, sun opposed moon and fixed sign Leo Aquarius, astrologically, it could mean some problems, and we might see more traffic accidents tonight than normal, a much higher crime rate, and it kind of reminds me of that scene in the Ten Commandments when the angel of death passed over the houses with lamb's blood on their door and didn't kill the firstborn that had lamb's blood on their door. So that's why I'm going to try to keep it cool and stay mellow this evening, and I suggest that if you are having a lot of pressure and stress in your life, that tonight is not a night to be impulsive and freak out, but tonight is a night to relax and pray and remain spiritual and calm. And I'm not saying to go out and sacrifice a lamb, put lamb's blood on your door that the angel of death is passing over, but it is a very unusual and freakish sort of lunar eclipse full moon at 8:07 p.m. Now, the lunar eclipse will actually start when the sun sets, okay? And the sun, I'm not sure exactly when it will set. Maybe one of our powerful scientist listeners out there will call me and let me know exactly when sunset will occur, and that way we'll know whether the moon rise would be visible. But because I don't actually have the exact moment of sunrise in my chart, maybe I do. Come on, Farley, let's find out. If you must have somewhere in your bizarre figures here all the sunrises. I do. God bless you, Farley. Coming through again. Okay, so in the northern latitudes, we got sunrise going on at around 5:26 this morning, and sunset then will occur right around 7 or so, 7:30. So we should have the full moon rise well in advance there by around 8. So if you look to the east, if you could be outside between 7 and 8, then right around 8:07 p.m., you should start to see the moon blackening from the Earth's shadow. And from what I understand in Los Angeles, the moon's going to get pretty well covered up here tonight. So it might completely even block out by 9 or 10 o'clock there. It's a pretty long eclipse, unlike the solar eclipse, which I believe is shorter. The lunar eclipse lasts for quite some time. So you will see a shadow go over that full moon tonight, which is kind of weird. And then, you know, on top of that, we got a moon wobble, you know, which doesn't add things. And it's a moon wobble that is near exact, because the sun is right on the south node right now. We'll get a void course moon at 8:07 p.m. So, frankly, it's a good day to just watch a ball game or something. and not get involved in too many relationship disputes or career squabbles, and observe the news, the headlines. Maybe headline news is something you might want to watch. I wouldn't fly tonight. I wouldn't launch a space shuttle. I wouldn't get involved in an international dispute, and I wouldn't start a marriage squabble or try to work out or resolve issues today. Today is not the day to negotiate, cooperate, and to coordinate or to try to get things to work well. Today is a day to finish things up, relax, stay calm, stay free, stay alert, cautious, wear your seatbelt, and be aware, be more defensive, especially when you drive, because that Aquarius moon is an earthquake and also a accident sort of moon. We could have a little trembler tonight in L.A., although we usually don't have them at night, because Venus going into Libra tomorrow evening, there's a strong earthquake watch in Southern California for the next 7 days. We're now in the peak of the earthquake watch for the entire rim of fire that stretches from Japan all the way up to Alaska to LA down to South America that outlines the Pacific there, with Venus going into Libra, square Jupiter in Cancer, and double T square Uranus in Capricorn, and then just Saturn in Capricorn too. LA's chart is lit up, so if we were going to have a quake this year of any size, it would be in the next 7 days, and I'd focus on Saturday morning, right around 7 in the morning. Wouldn't it be something if I was able to nail like a 5 or 6 point quake in L.A. Exactly to the minute? But you know why that is? Because Aries moon time, moon goes into Aries at 6:59 in the morning, will oppose Venus right around 10 in the morning, and sets up all kinds of grand squares and grand crosses all day. So L.A.'s chart for like the next 72 hours is really earthquake happening, and that's why I may take some things off the shelf. It's funny, this is the only show in America where you can hear about the earthquakes before they hit, folks, and we've had a pretty good percentage of accuracy there. Anyway, not trying to scare anyone, I'm not leaving town, I'm in town, so I'm not expecting a real catastrophic quake, although I don't like them. I like to put sweatpants or a shirt near the bed, and a flashlight, maybe something else too. So, yeah, and you'd be ready to run to a doorway of some kind or get under a table. Anyhow, so that's what's going on with all this crazy transits, and obviously, as you know, a lot of our lives are in turmoil due to these transits. A lot of people, especially turning 30, having their Saturn returns, people turning 39 and 40 and 41, 42 and 43 having their midlife crisis effects, a lot of people are really going through intense transition and intense problems. And they need resolution in their lives. There's people out there that are crying for resolution. You know, I keep telling everyone I'm aware that there's a problem out there, but why does the Astrology Hour keep promoting these topics that are so spiritual? Because I'm trying to tell people where to go for the answer. God, pray, you know, affirm it. Now, I hear a lot of people are sick, they're ailing, they're not feeling good, their friends, their relatives are in intensive care states of health. You know, I say to them, I say, where is God in these people's lives? You know, well, they're not really into it. They don't really, you know, now here they are laying in a hospital or laying in an intensive care ward, suffering, dying, whatever, and they do absolutely nothing to curtail it and end it. I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit too pain sensitive. I can't handle it. But if I feel that the least amount of body symptom, physical symptom, that tells me there's something wrong in my body, wow, do you see my diet change and my attitude change and my spiritual priority come to the forefront immediately? You know, I'm not saying that I run to that because I'm frightened. I just don't like pain. So I'll get into prayer and affirmations and meditations and proper attitudes and confident and positive thinking right away to try to help that. You know, there's people out there that are sick and freaking out. They're still smoking. They're still drinking. They're still smoking pot. They call me up and say, well, my health is not so good, Farley. I have 2-3 cups of coffee a day. I'm loaded on sugar. I've been eating a half a pound of NutraSweet every day. And they ask me why they don't feel good. That's easy, guy. You OD'd on nutrients. You think phenylpropanolamine or whatever they put in diet sodas is, and all these diet weight loss systems is good for you? Give me a break. There's a warning on the can about that stuff. Now, why do you think they put a warning? It's funny how they say phenylketonics. What the heck is a phenylketonic? Well, there must be some of us that are allergic as hell to this stuff, right? And that's why they put it there. And obviously, it's dangerous, but people drink it like it's nothing, you know, and I say it's the spirit that you want to get back to, and it's natural things, it's whole foods. Stop the smoking, stop the drinking, stop the negative behavior, start praying, start meditating, try resting, and try breaking up that schedule, and then maybe you'll feel better. It's that simple, you know, but people don't do it. They want to end up in a hospital, an institution, or prison, or whatever, until they finally get traumatized enough to know what's wrong. And that's what these transits are all about. These transits are telling us to slow down, to nurture the temple of the soul, to elevate that spiritual priority, that God communion that we all have, and to focus on balance. That's all it's saying. That's all it's saying, you know. And if anything out there is knocking off your apple cart and kind of abusing your balance, then it's time for you to cut it out of your system. I say either surgically remove it yourself, or some surgeon might remove it for you. It's funny how sometimes we create problems that require surgery because we have this pain in our bodies that we haven't let go of because it's attached to a pain in our life we haven't let go of. Get rid of it. Dump it, you know, turn on the garbage disposal and fry that puppy. But get it out of there, you know. So that's what I do during these transits. I try to take care of Farley, make sure he's as happy and as healthy and as stable as possible, and continually try to get rid of these bad habits out of my life and get as more spiritual as possible. You know, on top of it all, we have a solar eclipse. We have a lunar eclipse on today, and we have a solar eclipse on the 30th at 10:45 p.m., which is not quite as intense because the solar eclipse is filled with lots of trines. So this is the heavy puppy of the month here, the lunar eclipse. Oh, sunrise, exactly. I got it. Okay, is 7:38 p.m., and the peak of the eclipse is 8:30 p.m. So that means that the lunar eclipse will be visible, and if you look to the east, you'll be able to see it. I hope it's a clear sky tonight. And, of course, you'll be able to see the moon around 7:38 o'clock, and then the eclipse will peak, or it'll be totally covered pretty much around 8:30. So there's that. Spent a lot of the topic on this full moon lunar eclipse, and haven't talked much about the 12 tribes of astrology, but that's the way it goes, folks. Sometimes I do that. So I don't know. Maybe I should just talk more about the current transits here. But you know, my big concern here, more than anything, is if you're a Leo, and if you are having your birthday at this time. In other words, one of my friends, Jody Kahn, is going to have her birthday in a couple days. Thank goodness she's having it, I think, on the 18th. But if you're a Leo having a birthday today or Saturday, or even on Monday or Sunday, you know, there's some pretty intense metamorphosis aspects here for the, unlike the rest of the Leos, they got most of the Virgo trines and the Taurus, Capricorn, Virgo grand trines so far. The T-squares and the grand squares are starting now. So these Leos are going to have to probably let go of a lot more in their lives than the rest of us are for this coming year. Even Virgos, you know, the Virgos are going through such weird stuff with the Venus square, Saturn, and Neptune. The 12 tribes of astrology, let me talk about, they talked about the moons going through the signs yesterday. The 12 tribes of astrology philosophy has to do with what sign, what vibration was on the eastern horizon. So you notice the eastern horizon is so important, and notice that this full moon lunar eclipse is happening tonight. The moon is rising in the east, in Aquarius. Okay, so it is a more emphatic effect than normal. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this topic was to show you the power of the eastern horizon, because the earth is turning in that direction. Los Angeles, you know, is going to get visible proof of the power of this lunar eclipse full moon as it rises in the east in Aquarius and opposes the sunset in Leo more than any other area of this planet. See, like Los Angeles is being affected by the lunar eclipse more than any other sector, all of Southern California, all of California, in fact, because the earth is moving in that eastern direction. And the eastern direction is vital metaphysically, because that appears to be where all the energy is coming from interdimensionally. In other words, from other realms. It's not an accident. You know, if you wonder why does the earth and the sun and all the other planets spin from towards the east from the west, then there's a cosmic reason to that. It's because the planet's being pulled towards that direction, and the energy is coming from that direction. I hope that makes some kind of logical sense to you. But the east is where it's at. The east is where it's what it's all about. And that is why when babies are born, and we are able to record the time and city of birth, which is what I asked you, then we can also discover what energy is coming from the eastern horizon. See, that's why when you ask people, can you guess my sun sign, Farley? It's so ridiculous because the focal point, the significant impact, the magnificent magnetic vibration that occurs in an individual at birth is not the sun sign. It is the eastern vibration. And that would be called the sign which is rising. You know, instead of, if you're born at sunrise, of course, you're going to have the same vibration of whatever the sun sign is. So if you are a Leo and you were born at sunrise as a Leo, then you'd be Leo rising also. And that's why there'd be such an emphatic Leonine vibration attached to you. That's why you'd be called a double Leo. See, but during any 24-hour day, because the Earth will move one full rotation in a 24-hour day, 360 degrees, in a 24-hour day, we will go through all 12 zodiac signs in that 24-hour period. So that means that a zodiac sign, see now people don't know what zodiac signs are, so let me tell you, a zodiac sign is a grouping of stars, an incredible, impossible to imagine huge sector of space, multiple parsec sector of space, which is identified by a grouping of stars that we use the zodiac to identify. See, like the zodiac, Aries through Pisces, are just 12 stellar constellations out there amongst many that are out there. See, like, if I wanted to list stellar constellation, I could list, Canis Major, Canis Minor, you know, Cancer, that is, and Leo, or Virgo, or Orion, or Pegasus, or Cassiopeia, or the Big Dipper, or Capricorn. You know, when scientists talk about areas of space, they identify areas of space with groupings of stars that when you connect the dots, make up little figurines or whatever and symbols, which are constellations. Okay. So the zodiac is 12 constellations of stars that we are more concerned with than the rest of the constellations. And why is that? Because that is the area of space through which the planets and the sun move and the earth is locked in. It's called the ecliptic. See, if you looked at the sun, at our solar system, if you were a giant and looked at the sun from beyond space, you would see a star with nine planets rotating around it with all of their moons, and it would look like a plate. It would look like a saucer, if you want to know the truth. It would look like a saucer. See, a normal atomic structure in physics has atoms and electrons, that is, going around the nucleus in all different directions. So, you know, it's like a ball, you know, as far as the orbits are concerned. But a solar system is flat, okay? And that means that the sun, the moon, and all the planets, including the Earth, revolve around the sun's equator. You know, it is the sun's equator that holds them in that saucer-like shape or in that flat rotation. So as you approach our solar system, you know, you can see the planets, you know, of course, in a flat, you know, orbiting the sun, and they're all orbiting in the same plane, okay, which is called the ecliptic. And that plane, from our point of view, is the zodiac. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, the constellation of Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So when someone says that they are a Virgo, what they are talking about is they're talking about that when they were born, the sun was located astronomically in the constellation of Virgo when they were born. See what I mean? So whenever you identify any one chart in astrology, we are always talking about planets and sun and moon first, and then next the signs or where they are located in space. So astrology is a science that analyzes the planetary and the solar and the lunar locations exactly at the moment of birth. And the one thing that is not considered beyond the planets, the sun and the moon, what today's topic is about is the rising sign, or the one vibration, the one sign on the eastern horizon that rises at birth. And this energy, you know, this energy that occurs at birth is so interesting. It is so powerful. But my philosophy here is that the soul of the child, the final imprint of the baby, the final signature of a soul on a body, on a human body, when the baby is born and when the baby literally comes out of the womb and opens its eyes and starts breathing, then finally that astral body, the major part of our consciousness, right, the part of us that is conscious in the body, is literally ripped from beyond the realm where it exists. Unlike normal awakening in the morning when you sleep, this is the initial awakening of life. Okay? And that astral self is ripped from beyond the higher realm and comes from the east. It is ripped from the eastern horizon and pulled and yanked and sucked into that baby's body. And it's a shock. That's why a lot of babies, when they wake up, they're like, my, you know, they're like reduced to this this helpless little puppy, right? This helpless little child. And that energy, that astral self, has traveled from beyond this realm, from the east to the earth. And that is why whatever your rising sign is so very significant and important to understand you and to understand others and to understand things like compatibility and character and identity. Now you know that if you're a Libra rising like me, that we relate. All Libra risings relate because all babies born with Libra on the eastern horizon have their astral selves ripped through outer space and through the realms into their bodies, coming from the Libran vibration. And that's why we handle life like Libras, no matter what your sun sign is, no matter what your moon sign is. I relate totally more to Libra rising than any other rising because they are like me. It is definitely like a separate tribe, a separate nationality, a separate culture. It is more of an adherence than any religion or any culture or any creed. It is the rising sign. You don't have to speak the person's language or be the same race, color, or religion. If you're both Libra risings or you're both Virgo risings or Capricorn risings, you are going to see eye to eye. And the closer they are to your exact number of ascendant, like I'm 20 Libra rising, so obviously I am excited and aroused if I ever get near anyone with 20 Libra rising. Like two of my pals, Ashley and Laurel, you know, from my past, and John F. Kennedy, who also had a 20 Libra rising, who I literally cried my brains off when that guy died. Didn't even know he had my ascendant, but it still traumatized me when he died, because I loved him. He was my hero. It is so very vital, if you want to understand astrology and prove for yourself how it works, to understand the rising sign. You know, and each and every one of those signs has a different quality. Libra risings obviously are into affability and balance and happiness and peace and love and relationships and everybody being nice to each other. Balance. You know, and Scorpio risings are a lot more intense and deeper and a lot more mystical and secretive and quiet and shy and explosive and emotional. So, and Sagittarius risings are independent. You know, they're philosophical. They do whatever they want to do. They're into their own, they cut their own grain in life. They don't care what the rest of the world's doing. They're going to do what they want to do. You know, Capricorn risings are the Spocks of the zodiac, the practical ones, the logical ones, the focused ones. So, and if you know, you know, you call me up for compatibility. What do you want in life? Maybe when you find out that you're going to relate better with someone in your own rising sign, and you'll go out there and try to find it. You know, and see what happens. Check the philosophy and you'll see how it works. You know, Aquarius risings are all like extraterrestrials. Aquarius risings are so totally unique and so totally different. They are extremely mental, extremely intellectual, very communicative and goal-oriented people. And very, very into having a good time. Pisces risings are sensitive and vulnerable and intuitive and psychic and shy and emotional. And Aries risings are energetic and initiating and pioneering and aggressive and gregarious and childlike. You know, and there's a focus on each and every family of the zodiac, each and every one of these rising signs. Taurus risings are value-oriented and love-oriented and hugging-oriented and bonding-oriented people. And Gemini risings are busy little beavers. They're chatters, they're talkers, they're communicators, they're nervous, they're restless. And Cancer risings are emotional and they're mothering and they're also very nurturing and security conscious and into hosting people and such. And Leo risings are dominant and aggressive and dramatic and into comedic situations and also into having fun and being independent. And Virgo risings are detectives. They're analytical and they're critical and they're also very detailed and usually clean and health conscious. And then we're back to Libra risings again. You know, and you must understand when you study astrology, if you want to prove it works, understand the 12 tribes. Understand the 12 rising signs because the energy coming from the east is the most powerful force in this solar system to this planet more than anything else. The rising sign. If you want to find it in your chart, find the word ascendant, and there it is. Okay. There's a multiple topic for you on the lunar eclipse full moon tonight at 8:30 p.m.